I'm talking with Gary Marshall, who has been the CEO of the Missouri Corn Growers Association for a long time, getting ready to say goodbye, but probably not so long, is my guess. Gary, what is it like at this point in time to be turning the reins over to a new CEO and then looking at your future and the future of corn?
Well, let me start with the future of corn. I think the future of the corn industry looks really, really good. We're producing record crops every year. The yield per acre continues to grow. So that means that our job at Missouri Corn in terms of finding new markets is as important as ever. So, that's number one on our list here. I think from a personal perspective, I guess it's time. I think there's a time and a place for everything. And this is probably a good time for me to step away because we've got corn prices at a nice spot. I've got good health. Family is good. And the corn health of the corn industry in Missouri is very good. And it's going to be in great hands with Bradley Shedd. So I think maybe a good time to be stepping away. But, you always have a little bit of apprehension about something different. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, yes. And you mentioned at the Corn Growers Annual Business Meeting that certainly corn exports to China is something that was not, this time last year, something that anyone had predicted.
Absolutely. We've been thinking that China has the potential to be a huge market for us, but it wasn't until they actually signed up for a 2-year, 3-year trade agreement that we really started to see last year, China jumping out in a big way, buying U.S. corn. And now it's gone beyond that. They're buying more distillers grains. And for the first time in quite a while, they're buying ethanol. So we really anticipate all of those three different markets to continue to grow in China. And it's just nice to see that happening. And it shows that, sometimes it takes a long time to build these international markets. And certainly that's what we had with China. It's been a while, but we've been there for a long time. And a lot of those efforts are now paying off.
And certainly trade in general is a push. Do you see that there's a bright future for that under at least for the next 4 years with the Biden administration?
Well, we hope so. We know that, at least new trade agreements, probably not their top priority. But we do anticipate that they're going to continue to look at the different trade agreements. They're going to continue with the USMCA, the Canadian, Mexican, and U.S. trade agreement. They're going to continue to work with it. China is going to be big. And then, the one thing they might do is start looking at some sort of a trade agreement with the rest of Asia. And that's pretty important because that's a huge market for U.S. corn over there.
Right. Now, you talked about ethanol, and certainly that's top of mind always for a corn grower. And it's been a rough year with COVID, but now we're going to see more people, more activity. Now we're hearing even an earlier potential deadline for vaccinations in the United States, which could mean the summer could really be popping with cars and so forth. But what is, you've always been in a position to look ahead. That's, as I've known you over the past 14 years, you're always looking ahead. So what are we going to see in that space? And also, it was brought up at your meeting that 95 RON E15 blend might be something, and even higher. And then hydrogen powered, vehicles and electric vehicles. What is the outlook there?
Well, you're exactly right. You've got to continue looking forward. We want to maintain the market that we've got right now for ethanol blends, but we're stymied here in the U.S. We're capped at 15 billion gallons of corn-based ethanol under the renewable fuels guidance that we've got. So we need to take a look at what we can do there. We know we can grow exports of ethanol on a global basis, so that's going to be a priority for us. But we're really looking now at this new legislation that we introduced, Congresswoman Sherry Bustos from Illinois introduced last year. They're modifying it, and I think we're going to see maybe some of the auto groups come on board. And then ultimately, we're going to have to sit down with the environmental organizations and also with the oil industry as we begin to introduce new legislation that's going to help kind of bridge the gap between the next 10, 15, 20 years of internal combustion engines, and those are going to be new engines, and then ultimately maybe bring on electric vehicles. So we've got a plan, we've got legislation. We see that we think we can move from an E10 blend up to maybe an E15, then to an E25. Higher compression, lower weight engines going to help gas mileage. So there's some real opportunities coming up, and that's what our focus is on now. But, you know, starting today, we're 5 years out from those new cars being built. So that's what we're looking at now is a five-year market and a five-year time frame to hopefully get those new engines into the marketplace. And at the same time, we're going to have to revitalize all the infrastructure to deliver those higher blends through the gasoline pumps around the country. So still a pretty significant job for Bradley Shadd and the crew here at Missouri Corn to tackle these next 5 years.
All right, so we have a new EPA director, and we have the ethanol groups responding positively because the EPA has said they support the 10th Circuit court ruling in regard to small refinery waivers and the RFS. What's the future of that in your mind?
Well, we're certainly hopeful that we're going to see a friendlier EPA on ethanol than what we did with the last administration. You know, we got a lot of work done on rules and regulations. We kept crop protection products available for farmers with the Trump folks. But with the Biden folks, we feel more confident on the ethanol side. Hopefully they get those small refinery exemptions figured out. But, you know, also next year in 2022, the EPA takes over the control of the renewable fuel standard. So the RFS all of a sudden has to be under the guidelines of the EPA with, you know, Department of Energy and U.S. Department of Agriculture being a part of that. But that's a whole new role that they're going to play also. So we're starting to look at that issue down the road. So again, going to be a number of things looking forward that we're going to have to deal with. But hopefully we've got some folks in the new administrator and his people that we can work with.
Now, that might have gone under my radar when you were talking about in 2022 about this change that's coming with the oversight of the RFS. Can you explain that in a little more detail so I know exactly what you're talking about?
Yes, it's basically a reset provision that was set in the original law that said in 2022. It's basically, you know, taking a look at the entire program. You know, back in 2005 and again in 2007, when we were passing that legislation, we anticipated that the world might change. We were hoping that we would see a lot more cellulosic-based ethanol, for instance, using corn fiber to produce more ethanol. So advanced ways of manufacturing ethanol from not just corn, but corn products like stover and like some of the other products that might be out there, you know, like grasses and things. So we haven't seen that grow quite as much as we hoped, but what the EPA administrator will do now is take a total look at all of those issues and then present a plan on how we move forward after that. So it's something you're gonna start hearing a whole lot more about from the corn folks, from the ethanol folks, from EPA. So we're gonna get to know those folks really well here in the next couple of years.
Interesting. Okay, good. Thank you for that heads up. And we're certainly going to be watching that as well. Anything else you'd like to add, Gary, in terms of, you know, how you might still stay involved?
Well, certainly, I think I'm going to continue working with the Trizine Network. I chair that organization. You know, it's a group of about 25 or 30 main organizations that are involved in making sure that we keep the Trizines in the marketplace. And, you know, right now, the Trizines, along with glyphosate, are moving through the Endangered Species Act process. And that brings in a whole new group of folks. Right now, it's at EPA. They're providing a biological evaluation, which goes over to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And then they make a determination on how all of these different herbicides, insecticides, how they might interact with endangered species. So now, this is a whole new area that we've never been involved with, but we're going to have to get up to speed on it really quickly. So I've been asked to stay on as chairman of that group, which I will for the next year or so. And obviously, I've also told Bradley that anything he needs at Missouri Corn, all he has to do is call me and I'll be there to help.